This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so. Really excited to introduce you to our guests. As we're in the new month of March here, it is Brain Injury Awareness Month, which is very significant. And we first introduce you to Brian Pugh in studio. We welcome him back. He's the executive director of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland, which we'll sometimes refer to as BIAMD. Right, Bri?
Correct.
Nice to have you back. And do you want me to read your official intro that was written by the...
Well, you can.
By the powers that be.
Yeah, for people that don't know me, let's see what they wrote.
Let's see if this is correct, Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
So since 2011, his work has focused on providing information and assistance to individuals, families, educators, healthcare providers, and policymakers regarding brain injury prevention, treatment, research, and supports. As part of BIAMD's current outreach initiatives, he hosts the Brain Injury Connector podcast, serves as a facilitator for BIAMD's weekly check-in chat, curates and distributes BIAMD's weekly Five Thoughts Fridays newsletter, and serves on a variety of boards, work groups, task forces, and committees representing Maryland's brain injury community.
Wow, who is that guy? That guy sounds really busy.
I know. How did he have time to join us in the studio?
I know. That's very exciting. No, and thank you so very much for having us back. It's always great to be here. Really, really appreciate the opportunity to share, particularly now that we're going into Brain Injury Awareness Month. It's something, you know, that's really important, and we want to take advantage and make sure, you know, that our message gets out, and the main message that we try to convey is you are not alone.
That's right.
There are over 600,000 families living in Maryland right now that wake up every day that have to live with either traumatic brain injury, stroke, any of those acquired brain injuries. And so, you know, we try to make sure that those individuals know that they're not alone. And that's why we're really, you know, blessed today to have Tom with us to sort of share his story as well.
Yeah. Thank you for connecting us with Tom Gallup. We want to introduce you to him. He's an advocate for the Brain Injury Association of Maryland and full-time caregiver for his son, Andrew, who suffered a traumatic brain injury. And we're going to hear your whole story. Tom, thank you. We know how busy you are being a caregiver and how important it is for you to tell your story, but we know time is short with you. So we really want to thank you for joining us as well.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And so we're going to begin with Bri, from your perspective, Brian, in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the most significant long-term challenges faced by individuals living with a brain injury after the initial acute care phase has ended?
Well, one of the real challenges is in many instances, there are cognitive and behavioral impacts. And so, you know, things that you used to be able to do, you might not be able to do. And that becomes socially isolating because I can no longer go to work. Maybe I can no longer drive, so I'm no longer independent. Maybe my family members have to stay home and care for me, or you know, I've got to figure out how to learn to live a new life. And so those are huge issues. You continue to have balance issues. You have vision issues. You have you can have hearing issues. We learned during COVID, which is a huge impact. With long COVID, which you've heard about,
mm-hmm.
Taste and smell. It doesn't mean your nose fell off or your tongue fell off. It means your brain's no longer able to process. So it's brain injury. And so those sorts of situations, and some of those resolved, and many of them, they don't. And so you have those kinds of issues. And so one of the things that we try very hard to do is, like I said, to let people know that they're not alone, that there are opportunities, that there are support groups. Tom runs one, we run one, and just to try to make sure that there are other opportunities for people to gather, to talk, because it can be so isolating.
And before we go any further with that, do you think it's important now to give the website and the phone number if anyone is really, you know?
Anytime for shameless plug. That's what I always say. So www.biamd, so Brain Injury Association Maryland, .org. So www.biamd.org. And our phone number is 1-800-221-6443. That's 800-221-6443. And you can get in touch with us about a lot more information, both on our website or giving us a call. We started over 40 years ago in 1983. We were family members who were gathered around a table who were wrestling with how to deal with loved ones that had brain injury. There was really nowhere to turn, so they turned to each other. We created this 800 number, and we've been answering that phone. We get around 300 to 350 phone calls a month.
Wow.
From people from all over the country, because we, you know, we're very blessed in Maryland to have lots and lots of really exceptional brain injury programs. And we've got lots of people moving to Maryland, moving out of Maryland, and recognizing that, you know, there's lots of opportunities here to find out about brain injury.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for providing that info. And you're also on social media as well. But really, that number is really a lifeline, as well as the website, which is a good way to keep up to date with everything that you're doing in throughout the state and really internationally as well in some cases. What are some common misconceptions, Brian, about brain injuries and their long-term impact that you encounter and actively work to address?
Yeah, there's this huge stigma around it, just very similarly to the stigma of mental illness. And it's about the same kind of, it's lack of knowledge, it's lack of understanding. Some behaviors are unpredictable. Sometimes people are misperceive things. And then also you've got, you know, there's balance issues. So sometimes one of the things that many of our folks challenge, if I'm impaired in terms of cognitively impaired, or if my balance is impaired, people are going to perceive that I'm drunk. If my speech is slurred because I have aphasia and I can't necessarily speak clearly, you know, there's a perception, oh, they're drunk, or they're just crazy. And then the reality is they're just trying to speak or to move in the best way that they can. So those kinds of perceptions can be really challenging to overcome. That, in addition, you don't, unless you have a scar somewhere or you're physically impaired, like you have an amputee or you have you're in a wheelchair or on a cane, there's no real recognition of brain injury, you know. And so that's why they call it the silent epidemic, because there's no perception. If I'm looking at you, I can't really tell that you're impaired. And so if you know, you're acting in a certain way, or you're not able to understand what I'm talking when I'm saying to you, it can really ramp up. And so one of the great challenges we have, particularly when we're looking at involvement with law enforcement, when we're looking at involvement with court systems, probation and parole, even in schools, behavioral and cognitive behavioral issues, you know, some of these kids that are labeled as bad and need to be expelled or need to be sent home or whatever. If you dig a little bit deeper, you're going to find that maybe there's a brain injury in their history, and it needs to be related to in that regard.
Yeah, it's a really important reminder. You never know what people are going through, as they say, and just to give people a little grace if they have an invisible injury like that. Mm-hmm. And what are the challenges that Maryland brain injury survivors face with getting specialized long-term rehabilitation services? I know you're a big advocate for this.
Well, you could
probably talk about this all day.
Yeah, exactly. Where's my soapbox? I think I brought it in here. I think I only brought the small one, though, so we're good. No, the reality is that while we have, you know, incredibly blessed with some amazing hospitals and amazing rehab programs, it's all along the I-95 corridor, so between Baltimore and Washington. But if you start moving 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half hour off of the I-95, you start getting further and further away from the programs that are necessary. Eastern Shore, out in Cumberland, Western Maryland, some of the rural areas, there really just isn't that those kinds of resources available. Now, that's one of the very thin silver linings that COVID brought us, was the recognition of telehealth and the ability to, you know, maybe get on your phone, Zoom somebody, FaceTime a doctor, get in those kinds of appointments. So it's really opened up the ability to not have to travel, because mobility and travel is a challenge for most people with brain injuries, or many people. And so that's really nice. But if you don't have broadband, you know, then that's really not very helpful. So we've been pushing very hard, and I believe we've just recently been able to pass in the legislature using just telephone, you know, just audio, mm-hmm. because for a while that was not reimbursable. You had to be able to see. And so it really shut down the ability to use that telehealth. But now that we have audio only for some of the treatments, it's going to really help people that don't have that broadband and have access to those resources.
That's a lot of progress.
Low-carb keto, yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections. But you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we want to bring Tom Gallup back in the conversation, too, advocate for the Brain Injury Association of Maryland and full-time caregiver for son Andrew, who suffered a traumatic brain injury. And Tom, what got you started as an advocate for brain injury survivors and their families?
Well, my son was in a horrific car accident in 2015. Actually, it's a motorcycle accident. He was 25 years old and living in Florida at the time, and coming home late one night, it was dark, and he was riding actually a scooter without a helmet on. And when a car coming from the opposite direction turned into his path and just wiped him out. But, you know, we've been very blessed over the last 10 years by some really wonderful and helpful people. And I've made it sort of a personal mission to pay that back by helping other families that are new to the terrible reality that is brain injury caregiving.
Yeah, and where do you point those new to brain injury to go for resources? And kind of a two-part question, that first, and then what is usually their biggest need, do you find?
Sure. Well, I think the best starting point for brain injury survivors and their families who live in Maryland is to be in touch with the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. As Brian pointed out, they have referral specialists that can provide a huge amount of helpful information. Part of the problem is that, you know, no two brain injuries are exactly alike, and the range of injury and the recovery can be very unpredictable. Brian and I know of individuals that were not expected to survive their initial injury, only to go on to make a nearly full recovery. But unfortunately, that's not always the case, and they can vary tremendously. I think the biggest need for families of those who have suffered a brain injury is to learn that they're not alone, that there are a lot of people and resources out here to help most anyone in need.
Yeah, that must provide you and your family a lot of comfort. And did you bring Andrew back to Maryland, I'm guessing, after his injury in Florida? Did you come to Maryland for care and caregiving?
Yeah, we did, actually. He was air ambulanced back up to the Montgomery County Air Park, actually, and ambulance to our home, brought in the front door. The attendants unloaded him into a hospital bed we had set up and closed the door behind them. And my wife and I just kind of looked at each other like, oh my gosh, what now?
Right. Yeah, literally. And wow. And that was, you know, nearly, what, 10 years ago, right?
10 years ago, yeah.
Wow. So, and so now that makes Andrew 35. And is it just the two of you primarily that kind of swap off the caregiving, or what sort of challenges have you faced, you know, in the process?
Yeah, we're really blessed. We do have a two-parent household. My wife does not work outside the home, and I have a business that is conducted from our home. But we've been able to take advantage of several Maryland Medicaid waiver programs that help. We have a nurse that comes into the house every night to allow us to sleep because our son really needs eyes on him 24/7. And we also have another waiver program that provides some help during the day. So that's a huge.
Yeah, that's a blessing and a big help for the both of you, because as people know and have heard, you know, most likely that caregiving, you know, you have to remember to take care of yourselves as well. But when you're in a 24/7 caregiving situation like that, it can be difficult. And would you say that that's one of the biggest challenges that's faced by, you know, other members of the brain injury community that might not have those resources or know about those resources that you and your wife have?
Well, that's definitely one of the big challenges. But maybe another one is, and we had to learn this, we were very lucky to find brain injury rehab facilities outside the state because we were in Florida. But one of the biggest challenges is that Maryland has some very high quality facilities, University of Maryland and other places. But a lot of survivors don't find out where the best places to go are, and some of them end up in some very I'd say lesser quality places, nursing homes and things like that, that they don't get the kind of treatment that they should. And that's where places like the Brain Injury Association of Maryland can help steer them towards the better quality places.
Yeah, because do you find that Andrew is thriving more at home than you feel that he might in a facility outside of the home?
Well, we feel that our son, because he's at the far end of the spectrum of injury, he would not survive in a nursing home. And there are very many patients that end up like that. We know of some that have not survived. I've been to more than one funeral of people that I've tried to help, but it was a little bit too late. So we're lucky that we can care for him at home. And the state is working towards more and more programs that allow folks to stay at home that need that kind of care.
Yeah, and what are some things? Well, Brian, did you want to step in?
No, I just one of the things that has changed. Well, first of all, Tom's going to be, you know, too modest to talk about all the advocacy that he has done. One of the things that he started was a support group for people that were unable to leave and go to a regular support group, caregiver support group. So started one on Zoom back before Zoom was even Zoom.
Awesome,
and was intended to. Sort of create an opportunity for people that couldn't leave, that couldn't walk, you know, they couldn't, that there was no way for them to come to an actual physical meeting. So he created this meeting, and actually over the course of several years has really changed the lives of people throughout the country, because once people found out there was this group out there, it didn't just limit itself to Maryland. And so people have been coming to them for inspiration and for understanding, and just for years. And so that's something that he and his wife have done, which has been amazing, and they have definitely changed lives. And so the people that he's, you know, talking about engaging with, you know, have greatly benefited from, again, finding out you're not alone, finding out people that understand. You know, there's just this wrath of emotion, or, you know, lots of emotions going on. You've got grief, and you've got sorrow, and you've got anger, and you've got frustration, and you're dealing with insurances, and just to have somebody who can just nod and say, I understand, and I've been there, and you can get through this, and you can do this, have been immeasurably helpful to people throughout the country. And Tom and his wife are a great credit to do that and giving it back. One of the other things that I did want to talk about is that, you know, the, CMS, which is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, has a list of what they call chronic diseases, and to get on that list allows you to get certain benefits that you wouldn't have if you're not on that list. And so one of the things that we as the brain injury community have been lobbying for a very long time is to get brain injury on that list, so that special services, stroke was already there, but traumatic brain injury wasn't. And so what that does is that opens up opportunities for a variety of different resources that aren't available to you unless it's a chronic condition. And just recently, just at the end of last year, CMS has acknowledged that TBI is a chronic condition. Chronic condition is something that creates symptoms over a year. And many people, you know, the vast majority of maybe, mild traumatic brain injuries or concussions can resolve in about 3 months, but there are many that don't, and many that last years, and many that last decades, and many that last the rest of your life. And so to have that that change of acknowledgement opens up the opportunities and possibilities for other organizations, other insurances to begin providing, you know, sort of some of these additional services for families like Tom and for others.
Right. Like, and first of all, Tom, thank you for all you and your wife are doing for others as well. That's incredible. And then you did mention early, you know, that you have the nurse, thankfully, from was it Medicaid, you said?
Yes, a Medicaid waiver program.
Yeah. And so how have these support groups helped you both, too, with Andrew?
Well, you know, we were pretty low in spirit when we first started trying to care for our son at home, and we really didn't know that much. The support groups that we attended were great, but we found that, you know, we didn't have the time to drive somewhere, drive half an hour or an hour away to go and have a group meeting like that. So that's why we started one on Zoom. But it really gave us that feeling of we're not alone. And when our group gets together, we have newcomers in that have been looking for something like what we bring to the table for a long time, sometimes years, and they just kind of break down because they just don't find people who understand what they're going through like they do in our group.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they have you for that. And to explain to people a little bit about Andrew being in a minimally conscious state, tell people kind of what that means and what his current condition is and sort of limitations like that, and how that's, you know, continues to add to the challenges for you and your wife to be sure to give him the best care that you can at home.
Sure. Excuse me. Well, they used to call it a persistent vegetative state. Andrew can actually at times become a little bit alert. He can't speak very well. He has what's known as aphasia. But we know he's in there. He can raise his eyebrows and smile and give us a thumbs up from time to time. So, you know, we know he's with us, and it's just impossible to walk away from a patient like that and just put them somewhere that, you know, they would just be sitting in a corner in a wheelchair all day.
Yeah, especially as, you know, being your son, it's like you where you need to be, and you're in exactly the right place and giving him exactly the care that he needs, that you have come to, between you and your wife, to understand some of the things that can make him respond in those ways. And that's got to give you some hope when you see him sort of light up more than usual, or there's that, you know, is there a story of like a really touching moment that happened really any time throughout your 10-year journey? And that's another significant thing to note, is that you and your wife have really been caring for Andrew for 10 years now. And that's incredible. That's really a love story.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're not alone. We've found members who've come to the group, who've been with us, and they've been doing this for 40 years or more. We have some really long-term folks who just find that these support groups are kind of their people, their family, and very few outsiders can really understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we talk about our Check and Chat family, or we talk about a found family. Some of these, you know, it's brain injury and marriage is really challenging. A lot of divorces happen as a result of brain injury. Loss of parental rights happen because of brain injury. So there's it can be very, very challenging on families. Very, very difficult for individuals and family members to try and figure out. Coworkers, you know, right after the injury, everybody's there. Everybody's bringing lasagna. They're bringing food. They're coming by. They're sending balloons. They're sending flowers. But the reality is, after a while, people have to get back to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But that becomes your life. And
yep.
so when you're no longer having that interaction with your coworkers, when you're no longer having interaction with your family because you can't go to these events anymore because of sensitivities to sound and light and crowds, it's overwhelming. It can become further and further isolating. And so to create these found families with these support groups is such a vital component. And Tom and his wife serve so wonderfully in that role.
Yeah, we only have, sadly, less than 5 minutes left, but I want to make sure we touch on everything. Do you want to talk about BIAMD's upcoming conference, or what's the most important thing we haven't talked about yet that you want to make sure we talk about?
Absolutely. So with Brain Injury Awareness Month, not only will we be going to Washington, D.C., the first week of March, the Brain Act is funding to try and make sure that there are brain injury programs throughout the state, throughout the states. There's only, I think, 22 or 23 states that have brain injury programs. We want that funded, fully funded, so that each state in the country can have brain injury programs. We want to have level funding or maybe increased funding for the CDC, which is under fire right now. All the brain injury programs, NIH research from brain injury, that's all under, under the gun right now. So we're trying to go down and make sure that people understand, that there are, a brain injury happens every 9 seconds in this country. And there are millions and millions and millions of people throughout the country. It's not a blue issue. It's not a red issue. It's a human issue, and it's an American issue, and we need to get down there. And then we're also going to have our conference it's going to be April 3rd and 4th. And that'll be in Pikesville. And, if you want to find out more information about the conference, we've got over 40 different speakers from all over the country coming in for 2 days to talk about brain injury. And we have information for individuals with brain injuries, caregivers, healthcare providers, educators. We have tracks for all of those. And so there's always something for somebody to do. We're going to have wonderful sponsors that are going to be out there with us from all over the country, talking about their programs and sharing their latest research and development. And so, we really encourage people to take a look at that. You can find out on our website, biamd.org, and we invite you to participate in any and all of those things.
Great. And how can the public who are listening, perhaps, and us as the media here at Odyssey Baltimore, help promote brain injury awareness and advocate for better support and resources for individuals with brain injuries like Tom's son, Andrew, and so many others?
Well, as many of you understand, funding is under the gun, both in the state and in the federal level. Right now, the brain injury programs are getting their budgets reviewed. So call your legislator, call your senator, your delegate, and say, we support brain injury. We want to continue the funding for those programs. And then you can also join us on our social media platforms. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. And if you want, you can sign up for our newsletter. It goes out once a week, and that's Five Thoughts Friday. It goes out every Friday at 9, and it has three stories about brain injury and mindfulness, book review, and a quote of the week.
So that's all helpful stuff that, like you said, if you have a limitation of leaving the home or you're caregiving yourself or someone, that really those electronic methods are really helpful for
mm-hmm.
people.
Absolutely.
And your phone number also, because you mentioned, how important the phone still is.
1-800-221-6443. And recognize that if you have loved ones throughout the country, there are brain injury associations in the rest of the country as well. So you can find out wherever they are.
Great. And Tom Gallup, in our final minute here, advocate with the Brain Injury Association of Maryland, is there anything you want to say as a follow-up to maybe someone who has been impacted by brain injury and doesn't know where to turn?
No, I would definitely encourage them to call the Brain Injury Association of Maryland at the number Brian just mentioned. If anyone is interested in a support group, there are many listed on that website, but ours can be found at www.severebicaregivers.com. So anyone who would like to find out a little bit more about that, please go to our website and find out how to join.
Great. Thank you, Tom. We're going to link that. That, again, is severebicaregivers.com, right?
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. And then BIAMD.org as well. And that phone number again, 1-800-221-6443. Thank you both so much. Tom Gallup has been talking advocate with the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. All the best to you and continued recovery for Andrew and continued strength for you and your wife as you do this rewarding work.
Thanks so much, Gina.
Yep. And it's always great to have Brian Pugh as well, Executive Director of the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. Thank you for being here again, for all that you do to advocate for others and for putting us in touch with Tom Gallup and his amazing story.
Love being here. Thanks to Odyssey for having us.
Absolutely. And we'll put all these links up at today's1019.com. This has been a production of Odyssey Baltimore.